do have the privilege of introducing our guest speaker today. And I just want to say this. We are a church who desires to not just worship on Sundays together, but to live in a particular way, for each of us to live in a particular way that models our life after the way of Jesus, to practice the way of Jesus. And so on your seat, if you don't mind looking at this, this is our communal rule of life. This is the rule of life that our team has put together for our church, and it highlights 10 practices, 10 ways of being, if you will, that illustrate the type of life that a Christ follower might live as they follow Jesus. And one of them in particular I want to highlight today because it's relevant. There's not really a back or a front, but in the middle, this is what it says. It says, we want to be a community of justice, mercy, and reconciliation in a culture of self-interest and division through the practice of service. Okay, so we want to serve our community, and one of the primary ways that we do that is by partnering with really, really awesome organizations. And today, we get to highlight one of the organizations that we partner with. Now, why is that extra special for me? Well, because Pastor Christy Armstrong, and you can come on up, she has been part of our church. Many of you know her very well over the years. She also is the director of the Spokane branch, division? What would you call it? Field office. Thank you so much for that. For World Relief. And we have had a partnership with World Relief for almost our entire existence. Today, we're going to talk about how we're going to deepen that partnership and how we're going to live up to this practice of service. And so it's with great pleasure, and I would hope that you can help me welcome Pastor Christy Armstrong.
Thank you, everybody. It's good to be home. It's good to be home. Now, during my normal routines, when I walk into a room full of people, I say, Dobre jutro. Anybody? No? Buenos dias? No. Oh, we've got a Spanish speaker here. How about bonjour? Hello. How about salam alaikum? To that you say alaikum salam. Thank you. And to some of our crowds, I say jambo sana. Jambo sana. So kids, in a little bit, my friend Belinda is going to come up to talk with you guys. When he comes up, I want you to yell as loud as you can. I want you to yell, Jambo sana, Belinda! Can you do that? You want to practice? Let's practice. 1, 2, 3. Jambo sana, Belinda! Good job, you guys. Okay, I want to hear it loud. Hey, I just have to say, first I have to acknowledge some people. Some of you know Jared, who is on staff with me at World Relief. He is, that guy is like rock solid in the Lord. I'm not kidding you. On our staff, he is one of the people that I just count on to be just really on the right track and leading other people the right way. I also have Janice Riemann, who's one of our volunteer coordinators. She is amazing. And Belinda, of course, you'll meet him later. And I could go through the room and go, and that's my, but I won't do that. You guys have on staff here some really amazing people. I have to preface this morning with, Rick is one of the finest expository speakers, teachers of the Bible that I know. I wish I could be like Rick. For whatever reason, when God called me to be a pastor, he said to me clearly, I want you to be a pastor of the heart. Yes, stay close to the Bible. Stay close to the word. But Jessica, those songs you did this morning wrecked me already. And I'm sitting up here just like, Lord, what am I going to do with this now? So if you'll just bear with me, I might get off my notes a little bit because I just want to share my heart with you this morning. About 10 years ago, I walked into a really kind of shabby old building that looks like an airplane. It's across from North Central High School, and it's where I went for my interview for World Relief. And I seriously walked into that building and I thought, I hoped it would be better than what people would find in a refugee camp. So I was disappointed. I had come from a very nice ministry setting where everything was kept in pristine order. And now I'm at World Relief, and I thought, oh, I just wish refugees could be welcomed into a place that's nicer than what they'd lived in. And I was really disappointed. And honestly, I didn't know if I would stay. I remember sitting in my office for about the first 2 weeks with people who did not look like me, right? There's not very many white people at World Relief. And they didn't speak the language I spoke. And they had way different ways of relating with people than I did. And I remember honestly sitting at my desk going, Lord, really? I don't feel like I fit here. I don't feel like this is me. You guys, I was, a fairly typical Western American Christian. I actually asked myself the question, why are we doing this? Why are we bringing these people here? We have all kinds of the poor, the veterans, the, you know, people who we have all kinds of people to minister to here. Why are we bringing refugees and adding it to the mix? I know now why. I know now why. I learned why because Rawa walked into my office one day. She's a little bitty Ethiopian lady. And she was just skin and bones. And I knew she had 4 kids. Rawa walked into my office, and she laid her head on my desk. She had her fist closed. She laid her head on my desk, and she was just weeping, weeping, weeping. And I thought, what am I going to do? I'm supposed to help her find a job. What am I going to do with this? All I could do was cry with her. And she unclenched her fist, and in her very broken English, she said, no, friendy, no, friendy. And out of her fist fell a picture of Jesus. And she said, no, friendy, meaning Jesus isn't my friend. I can't see him. She's here as a single mom with 4 kids, and she now has to find a job and figure out how to raise these kids, right? Imagine, you guys, how many of you have ever vacationed out of the country, right? It's awkward when you don't know the language, you don't know the culture. But my refugee friends come and they often have maybe a bag or two of things. They often have a family and kids, and they have fled literally for their lives for one reason or another. They have fled. And so if you can imagine these lovely kids that we have in the room, packing them up, and running. A lot of my refugee friends tell me we ran a lot. We just ran and ran and ran. And that is the life of a refugee. Some refugees come actually from first world countries. Think of Syria, Iraq. There are refugees from there. Imagine leaving all the comforts you have. What would it take for you to leave first world America and run to wherever you could find safety, hoping that someday you might get resettled in a safer place? What would that take for you? Refugees are real live human beings with families and loved ones that they've left behind. I think of my Sudanese friends, and there is war in their country right now, and they tell me often my family's village is under siege. There's soldiers everywhere, and they're worried about their families, and they should be. So one of the things I want to do very quickly before I bring Belinda up is lay a biblical framework for refugee resettlement. Tons of refugees in the Bible, tons of them. Moses was a refugee, remember? He fled his country. The Israelites wandered in the wilderness for how many years? 40. They were refugees. Ruth and Naomi, do you remember them? They were refugees. They were running. Probably the biggest refugee that all of you are familiar with in the Bible is Jesus. Remember that Mary and Joseph packed up the baby and they fled because King Herod was going to kill him. So they fled to another country. Jesus himself was a refugee. I want to look for a second at a couple of stories in the Bible. One of them is the story of Joseph, who you remember was sold by his brothers into slavery and went to Egypt. So you can read that story, but he was under the authority of a pharaoh. And do you remember that the pharaoh had dreams that his people couldn't interpret? And somebody at one point said, wait, I met a guy in prison who interprets dreams. Why don't you call him? And Joseph was called out of prison. He rightly, by God's influence, interpreted the Pharaoh's dreams, and he became Pharaoh's right-hand guy. Pharaoh was smart enough to realize that this refugee had skills and abilities and talents. Oh, and God was with him. And Egypt flourished as this Pharaoh embraced the refugees and welcomed them. Egypt flourished. Well, that Pharaoh passed away. And then there was another Pharaoh who didn't know Joseph. And he saw Joseph as just one of a mass of people who he was drawing into slavery, brutally drawing into slavery. And if you read the story, it turns out that God didn't like that much. And so God sent plagues, and he turned the river to blood, and he sent frogs, and he sent all kinds of things, ultimately sending the angel of death who protected the Hebrew children, was not so kind to the Egyptian children. That's a picture of refugees. We are called to welcome. The Bible is full of references to welcome and take care of the widow, the orphan, and the stranger or the foreigner. God calls us to love the foreigner. And so at World Relief, that's what we specialize in. We specialize in welcoming the stranger. World Relief is a Christian organization. We are an unashamedly Christian organization. Here's a picture of God's goodness. So we all think of government funding as, stay away from that. The government's going to tell you what to do. We as Christians don't want any part of that. World Relief is 85% funded with government funds, and we welcome the stranger in Jesus' name. How cool is that, right? So we have a staff of about 70 people at this office, and we all have jobs to do. We have to welcome people at the airport, get them into their apartment, get their kids set up with school, get them connected with doctors so they can get their health care, help them find jobs. We have a lot to do, a lot to do. That's where we're totally dependent on you, the church, to come alongside us, and we can equip you and empower you and train you and walk alongside you as you are the ones that really welcome the stranger in Jesus' name. It's the church that we want to do that. So that is the biggest reason we're here today, is to invite you to come alongside of us, to partner even deeper with us in possibly creating what we call a good neighbor team. We have several good neighbor teams that are all from churches, and they come alongside families, and they walk with them. They provide the real life, like, cultural support. They're the ones that help people figure out how to actually integrate into American culture while bringing their culture with them too, because you know what? My refugee friends cook some amazing food, and they have taught me so much. I think Belinda, as we were standing there in worship, both of us were kind of wanting to dance a little bit. They get excited about their worship. Belinda's community, when I need prayer, I think some of you know Paul had a heart attack two years ago. The Congolese community was the first community I called and said, please pray for him, because I'm telling you, when those people pray, they pray. They really do. When I first went on staff at World Relief, my first group of clients were from Sudan. I found out I was going to have 20 single Sudanese men on my caseload, and I said, I don't even know what Sudanese is. I think it's in Africa, but that's all I know. And I found out that Sudan is largely Muslim. Well, that was a little challenge for me as a Western Christian American. Until 20 single Sudanese guys walked into my classroom, put their hand on my shoulder, shook my hand, and said, hi, Mom, as best they could. How are you today? And I went, oh my gosh, you guys are gonna just wreck me. What I recognized really quickly with those guys is the thing they needed the most was friends. So just being the kind of person I am, I went to my husband and said, hey, how about if we invite all these guys over to our house for a barbecue? And he said, oh boy. But he agreed. He's not quite as extroverted as I am. And the next thing I did was I went around to my lily white neighborhood and told everybody there's going to be a whole bunch of, you know, really not white people driving up. And it's okay, they're good guys. But I think that is probably my biggest goal today, is to just remove the stereotypes that we have and ask you to kind of open your minds and open your hearts and consider the possibility that just like with Joseph, just like with Moses, just like with Naomi and Ruth, just like with Jesus and Mary and Joseph, God's actually in this mix. He's actually the one that is bringing the mission field right to your back door. And church, my question is, will you step up to it? Because it's not easy. It's really quite difficult. But I have learned so much from my refugee friends. They have totally, totally changed my worldview. And I think I'm a much better person for that. So with that, I'm going to ask if anybody in this room is familiar with the verse John 3:16. Okay? Say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will never perish, but will have everlasting life. Now, I want to point out that that verse says God so loved the world, not the American Christian Church. It's the world, and that there are no limits on that. There are no limits. I am going to have Belinda come this way. And Belinda, I have a panel of little experts here that have some questions for you. This is my friend Belinda Kazambo. Yes. Belinda is on staff at World Relief, has been for quite some time. And we absolutely love Belinda. He's not only there for his community, but he's there for World Relief too. So, Belinda, welcome. I'd like to introduce you to my family. All of you. Okay, kids, some of you have questions for Belinda. Come on, these guys are hardcore. They're gonna ask you the most difficult questions in the universe. Come on, be brave, here they come. Okay, who's going to be first? Harper, you're the tallest. You get to be first. Come on up. What's your question for Belinda? Come on.
My question is, have you ever ridden on an elephant before?
No English. Oh. Swahili typewriter. I'd be French. No, I'm kidding. Well, by the way, I'm Belinda. All right. Yeah. First of all, as Christy says, my name is Belinda. And speak 5 different languages. So which English one of them? Answering to your question, I have not, but I've seen one. Yeah.
Got a hard question for Belinda.
What is your favorite American food?
Oh, wow, nice. Well, that is a very good question. My favorite, this I'll say, I remember back in 2015 when I newly arrived in Spokane, I was introduced to what we all know, pizza, right? So that's for sure my favorite. And since then, yeah, I really love pizza, and particularly I love Pizza Rita. Yeah.
What's your favorite African food?
Nice. My favorite African food is what we call fufu. Now, fufu is maize flour. It's kind of like smashed potato, but a little hotter, and chicken soup. So we kind of use that, yeah.
Does your family live in America?
My brother and my other brother-in-law also live in America, but my parents are back home.
Do African kids swim in the lakes or rivers?
Nice, they do both. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, Thank you, kids. Those were amazing questions. So again, my name is Belinda Kizombo, originally from Democratic Republic of Congo, born in the Congo, but raised in Uganda as a refugee. I was told I have about 15 minutes. I'll try to squeeze my testimony in, because if I'm to start from start to the end, I think we'll get off here about 4:30. Is that okay? No, it's not. Okay. All right. As we all know, the Congo is being destabilized since late 1990s to present. So I was born in the middle of the war. Then in about 9-8 years, I was forced to flee for one reason, because of the civil wars that was taking place in different parts of the Congo, and the militia groups were particularly targeting young boys to join them, which was really hard. No parents that can take that, you know, your 10-year-old, 11, 12, 13, to join the militia. So we were forced to flee. As Chris was talking about, you know, refugees, we've had refugees all over the world. And the neighboring country that we fled to was Uganda, the refugee camp. As a refugee, life is not easy, because you are forced to leave everything behind, fleeing for your life. So my parents and my two older brothers, we fled to Uganda in a refugee camp that we stayed there for about 9.5, 10 years before we even knew that we'll be resettled to the United States. That alone was a relief, you know, in our hearts, because we knew it that one day when we make it in America, life will be better. As Americans in this country, and the way it's viewed outside, as Christy said, if you've not been outside the United States, please try to visit, then you'll see what other people go through and appreciate what we have here in America. So fast forward, 2015, we got good news that we'll resettle in the United States as a family. And then the question came up, was like, now what? You know, leaving everything, going totally to a different world where you speak no English, you don't know anybody, you don't know where you're heading, but one thing you know, that you're going where it's safe. If I was to stand here 2015, I'll definitely need an interpreter. So it was it's a hard work whereby, you know, when we got here, but I will never forget one thing that I have never seen my entire life, my 9 years, 9.5 years of being a refugee when we got to Uganda. I'll never forget one thing, that the reception we got at the airport, whereby total strangers waiting for you, which is a good neighbor team, volunteers that come through, you know, volunteer with World Relief, standing with a big sign that says, "Welcome to America." And that alone showed and painted a picture that you are safe here, because my volunteer up to today, and I think has played a huge role whereby everything that I am today, he's inspired me to be. His name is Bruce Palmer, and he's a detective with police department. Didn't know him at all. That was my first time meeting him. And my case manager said that this is gonna be a volunteer. And guess what? Tonight, you and your family are gonna stay at his house. I was like, wow. here I am, me and my family, that were coming from the camp whereby, when Pastor mentioned that kids were gonna have camping, that's a cool camping. Now, refugee camp is whereby you have about like 20,000 tents that five, six, seven, eight people live in, and that's your home. Other people live in that for 10, 15, 20 years. Other people are born there, spend all their childhood, adult, before they get resettled. So it's a long process. Now here comes, we're in America, and we have this family that is introduced to us, and not only introduced to us, but they open up their heart, they open up their home. When somebody open up your home in our culture, it means a family. And that is a true definition of Christianity, because in Christ Jesus, there is no black, there's no white, we're all part of one family. And this just touched our heart. I'll remember this till, you know, today, that first night, we didn't even have sleep because we were just amazed with this love that was shown too. Connected with these new families that you get here through World Relief, it's just an amazing thing. And I've been in that shoes. And since that day, ask myself, how can I give back? That this country has given me so much that my own country couldn't, you know, been in Congo, been in Uganda, and resettled in the United States. And one thing that, you know, I have always been is the way that World Relief has changed the lives and lives of these refugees, thousands of refugees, not only part of Africa, but they come all over the world, and changing their lives through Jesus Christ, through the mission. It is something very, very tremendous. Back in 2017, 16, 17, I started learning English, trying to go to school, try to work full time, and that was a hard situation. But I knew it that there's one thing that God has always put in my heart that is in it's in the book of 1 Samuel, where it says, God will lift all the poor from dust, give them the seats of kings, and give them the throne of honor. Now, in order for God to build you, sometimes he's going to let you go through hardship. So you know that you didn't do it on your own, but you did it through God. And that's the hopes that the majority of refugees, and Christy can testify to it, that come through. Even though they go through a lot, but when they get here, they have that sense of hope whereby they can make it again. And they show it over time. They work hard and make their lives better. And me, as I've been praying, then how can I give back to Spokane? Now, my family, as you know, I mentioned earlier, my big brother and his wife, they had friends years ago that they came in the United States. I was like, you know what? We have people that we know that are in our country, but they've been resettled in another state. Guess what? We're moving. And that was another test for me, particularly. I was like, God, I feel like I belong in Spokane. You've brought me here in Spokane for a purpose. And we had that hard time talking to my brother because we've been together our whole life. Now they're relocating. Now I feel like I have a mission here. What can I do? I prayed to God. I talked to my brother, said, I feel like I have a mission here. I'm going to school here. I'm working hard. World Relief got me my first job where I was working at the hotel, the Davenport. How many of us know the Davenport? So I was working there, working hard, trying to see how this Spokane has welcomed us. And I had this mission, say, like, I want to really want to give back to World Relief. I really want to give back to this community. I really want to do what others has done for me. And I walked in one day into the door of World Relief. I was like, I want to do anything you guys ask me to do. So as I mentioned earlier, I speak 5 different languages. I was like, I can interpret. Oh yeah, there's 5 different languages that people come through here. I can interpret. So I started volunteering with World Relief as an interpreter, you know, speaking Swahili, speaking Kiganda, speaking Kinyarwanda, you know, speaking English, now getting on my list. And now I want to learn Arabic, and I'll get there. Amen. And that's how I'm giving back. So I applied with Spokane Police Department in 2023. I said, really looking at our community, the experience they've had with law enforcement back home, and the experience here, they tend to carry that with them. So how can we educate them on that? I remember I made a phone call. I'm like, hi, my brother's in Chicago. I was like, you know what? I've just got my 2-year associate degree in criminal justice. And he's like, okay, now, oh, you're trying to go do some, maybe you'll be a lawyer. I'm like, no. What are you gonna be? He's like, police officer. He's like, do you watch the TV? Do you see what goes on around? He's like, that's where God is taking me to. And worked hard. It's a hard job, it's a hard work, and I got to graduate last year, November, and now I'm a reserve police officer. Yeah, yeah. Thank you. And the first time I had on this uniform and worked my first shift, the 10-hour shift that I worked the first time getting trained, everybody in the community, as we all know, you think Spokane is big, but everybody tends to know you. It's like, Belinda, Belinda, Belinda. And the news just went ahead, and you could see how these people can be relieved. So if Belinda can do it, then we can do it too. And my goal is to inspire these, you know, newcomers who have dreams that they think they can't make it, to tell them that you can do it. And I always try my best to make sure that I be at the airport every time I know that somebody is coming, because when they come and tell them welcome to America in Swahili, Karibu Americani, that alone, even though they walk, you know, with tired, it's a 23-hour flight, by the way. And they walk, they're very beat up, tired when they get to the airport. And when I tell them, welcome to America in Swahili, they're like, oh, we didn't know that we're gonna find somebody who speaks Swahili in America. It's like, you're welcome. And talking to them, they're just relieved. And I urge you, if you've not volunteered with World Relief, please do. These families are going to change your lives. When you listen to their stories and connect with them, they'll change your life. And I believe that God put everybody on this earth with a purpose. And one question that we should ask ourselves today, what is our purpose? And the day our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will come, we want to hear one thing: well done, my son. Well done, my daughter. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Belinda. See, once you meet someone who has come as a refugee, I mean, how could you say no to a Belinda? How could you say there's not enough room for you in America? Around the world, there are over 110 million people who've been displaced. 110 million. only 0.5% will ever be resettled anywhere. So Belinda, to have you here with us today is like a miracle. That's proof that God is, and that God sees people. So kids, remember I said when I had Belinda come up, I would have you yell, "Jumbo's on up, Belinda." I forgot. You want to do it now? Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Jumbo's on up, Belinda. That's as excited as Americans get. Sorry, Belinda. That's our dance. Hey, one last thing, and then I'll give it back to Rick. Belinda is now an American citizen. When did you get your citizenship?
By the way, I'm glad Christy brought this up. I'm going to use 50 seconds, if that's all right. So, yeah, I got my citizenship back in 2021, and I went back home. I don't know how I forgot this. So I went back home and got engaged to my beautiful now wife, and we have one daughter, and last Friday, my daughter just got her citizenship, and we'll be reunited by the end of May.
That's good. That's good. And I can tell you, when people get their citizenship, they come to World Relief with their certificate, and they're waving it going, "I'm an American, I'm an American." So thank you so much for having us this morning. Janice is going to be out at the table after the service, and she'll have more information about volunteering and good neighbor teams and all that. Rick, Jessica, thank you so much. Love you guys.
Can we give Chris another hand? Just want to make note of this. If you are interested at all in participating in our partnership with World Relief, specifically in the Good Neighbor program and the Good Neighbor team, please just mark that on your Connect card. You can drop that in the Connect black box on your way out, and we will follow up with you. And let me tell you what, it's going to be awesome. And so, Pastor Christy, thank you so much. Belinda, love your story. Thank you so much for sharing. I'm excited. One of the things we do regularly is we celebrate the gift of communion. And so in just a moment, I'm going to invite you to partake in communion as we begin wrapping up our gathering. We're going to sing another song, and then I'm going to send you off. But this is why we do communion and why we do it every single week. Jesus gave us the gift of communion as a way to remember what he's done. He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Now, why do we remember? I think a great example was brought up today when Belinda shared his story. He remembered what it felt like to be greeted, and it inspired him into action, to which now he shows up and welcomes the stranger every single time he can. And I absolutely love that. And the gift of remembering is so that we can be inspired to go forward, forward in our faith, forward in our belief, to remember the grace of Jesus, to remember the mercy that Jesus provided for us. And so not only did he give us the opportunity to remember, but he did so tangibly that we can touch, taste, eat the in our case, the juice and the cracker, so that we can tangibly feel something as we associate that with remembering what Jesus did on our behalf. So I'm going to invite you to stand with me if you can. In just a moment, I'm going to pray over the elements. And here at Foundation Church, the way we do it is you can take yourself and your family, you can walk back, grab a cup of juice and a cracker. Find a spot if you want with your family and pray. Receive it and then return to your seat, and we're going to sing. But take this opportunity to remember. And in your remembrance, you can do a couple things. One, you can reflect on how good God is to you, has been to you, and will continue to be to you. You can reflect on the grace that he's extended to you, and by way of remembering that, remember to incorporate grace into your life. You can remember the mercy of him not giving us what we deserve as people who are both broken and at times far from God. Now we are near to God, and we can celebrate that. And so as you receive these communion elements, you have some remembering to do. But you don't just remember to remember, you remember to move forward. And that's what we're doing with this. So I'm going to bless the elements, and then you can receive them with your family. God, thank you so much for this opportunity and for the gift of receiving communion, of participating in communion as we do here. God, as we partner with churches all over the world in this act, God, we're so thankful that we get to do it right here, right now. And that you gave us not only the command to remember you, but to give us something to attach that to, that we can taste and touch and feel something that reminds us of your love, of your grace, of your mercy. So God, as we do that today, may our hearts be aligned with your heart. May we consider what you've done. May we forgive those who have wronged us because you have forgiven us. May we withhold punishment for those who deserve it because you withheld punishment through your Son, Jesus Christ, on our behalf. And as we remember today, may we learn what you have in front of us. May we appreciate and be excited about what you have in front of us. May we move forward with what you're doing in our lives, and we can attach that to this act. In Jesus' name, amen. So go ahead and head on back, grab the elements, and then return to your seat as we sing one more.